nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody
greater. Nobody greater than you. Come on, lift your hands and say it. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Come on, one more time. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. One more time. Nobody, nobody.
Nobody greater.
Hey, nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Come on, say it one more time. Nobody,
nobody greater.
Hey.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over. Couldn't find nobody.
Searched high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Woo! Father, we bless your name. We thank you for what you're about to do and what you have done. Speak afresh in this place as we worship you in spirit and in truth. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will last forever. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Next few moments, we're going to look again at John chapter 12. Beginning verse 13, John 12, 13. They took branches of palm trees in homage to him as king and went out to meet him. They began to shouting and kept shouting, Hosanna, blessed, celebrated, praised is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, just as it is written in Scripture, Do not fear, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. For the next few moments, I want to talk from this theme, This One's for You. This One's for You. There's nothing like the Christian calendar when we turn our eyes towards Calvary. And as we get on that directed path that leads us straight to Golgotha's Hill, to the place of the skull, there's nothing more important for us than to pause and to remember and to celebrate his triumphant entry. Nothing more important for us to look at it, to re-examine it, and to say to ourselves how wondrous that moment in time was. As God allowed his son to accept the majestic praise of humanity as a beginning and a precursor to his death. As God allowed him to bask in the majesty of the moment, as God gave him the opportunity to feel the love and compassion of people that saw him for who he was as Messiah, as God would allow him to enter into a messianic fulfillment of sacred texts. Yes, the fulfillment of the Messiah coming into the city, riding on a donkey. The fulfillment of sacred scripture, the fulfillment of all of the things that were said to happen before Messiah. And it is interesting as one looks at this day what one has to see is all of the signs and symbolisms that are embedded in the day. They teach us not only the fulfillment of what was going on, but they teach us the very mind of God and how God seeks to interact with humanity and how humanity ought to be in the presence of divinity. There are ways to examine this because all of this is a setup by God for our salvation. And Jesus is the surrendered one, fully committed to serving God in every way possible, totally surrendered. I remember my good friend, Deacon Ken Rainey, as the Lord was calling him from labor to reward. We were in the hospital, and the last song, as we were singing songs of Zion before his passing, the last song he asked for us to sing just before he crossed over into God's presence was, "I am sold out." And Jesus epitomizes sold outness in that he recognizes while going through these motions, Good Friday is ahead. That the temporary, tantalizing, triumphant entry will be followed by persecution and death, but ultimately resurrection and life. That one has to understand that this is a setup from the foundation of the world, predicted, told, now coming to manifestation and fruition. Which means that everything associated with it must have had something in the mind of God that we could grab hold of. You see, God uses unique signs to open the eyes of our understanding. Unique signs to open the eyes of our understanding. And if we would but listen, one writer puts it this way, as he has it, he says that Jesus told them to go and find a colt. Another writer says that he told them, when you get there, they'll ask you about the colt, and you let them know the Lord had need of it. John, being distinct from the synoptic gospel, simply said, Jesus finding a colt sits upon it. For some, that would seem a contradiction. To me, it is the stories that were told post his death, heard by others, and each time the story gets told, it is shared through the lens of the individual. I listened, like most of you, because millions of us heard the Cat Williams interview on Club Shay Shay, and I heard what Cat Williams said about Ricky Smiley. Ricky Smiley couldn't have had my job. He couldn't have. And Cat is absolutely right. Ricky Smiley never had that. You're right. From your vantage point, everything you're saying is the truth. You were the best person to play it. It was a breakout role. It was a phenomenal character. You played that pimp like nobody else could. Ricky Smiley does not come across as a pimp. He's too church. But Ricky Smiley's story is not a lie. He went for that part. They could see you're not the best one for it. So they gave him a role that he could excel in, and he played it phenomenally. Ricky's not lying. Cat just doesn't know the whole story other than the part he lived. So sometimes when you read stories that appear to be contradictions, they don't have to be contradictions. They are the part of the person that was sharing their story. And others may have more details as they had a firsthand experience and their story can be different. What one has to understand that what Jesus did was Jesus gave an outward demonstration that matched the collective expectation. The collective expectation was that the Messiah would come in riding on a donkey. That expectation is fulfilled in the manifestation of Jesus' triumphant entry. Full stop. But there's something a little more here. Because in reality, this was a public metaphorical demonstration of life. I work with it. I know. I talk a lot. This was a public metaphorical demonstration of life. It is actually a way in which one might find one's true character. And one might think about how you live your life. Not just this one ride, but I want to suggest that the allegorical implications are astounding. And the message to the masses is impacting as a messianic testimony. Let it be said. Listen, in other words, what he did was a testimony of who he was. I am Messiah. The impact upon everyone there was a celebration of the King, the Savior, he who would come to restore order. But there's something else. There is, for me, three underlining messages beyond the messianic, beyond the salvific story. There are three messages that I wish to tease out in the next few moments as I share this message with you. Three underlining messages. And let me see if I can offer them. This one's for you that you might witness, number one, that honor and humility ride together. The problem with people is that we all desire honor. We all desire people to look at us and to think of us as being wonderful. We all desire for people to applaud us in our doings in life. We want the honor, but honor and humility go together. That they have to ride together on the same donkey of life. They must be together, without which you can become pompous, arrogant, prideful, full of hubris, self-indulgence, non-self-reflective, self-absorbed to the point that you are no good to anybody because all you think about is the big three, me, myself, and I. Honor and humility must come together, and what one has to recognize are those that we honor the most are those that can achieve success and greatness in whatever area and remain humble. Because when you become full of yourself, when you become so consumed with the individual in the mirror that you lose touch with the rest of humanity and the struggle for life against death daily. You now have become a shame to the God you serve. Honor and humility must see that this whole idea of riding on a donkey comes with a lot of imagery here, because the donkey that God put in holy text that is being fulfilled, the very image of the donkey is there, is the symbol of service. It's a symbol of suffering. It's a symbol of peace. It's a symbol of humility. Jesus riding on the donkey is a symbol and a model for a selfless individual who walks in total humbleness. He doesn't come in riding on a stallion. You want to see the contrasting image? Go to Revelations. He's not on a donkey in Revelations. He's riding on a horse. The imagery shifts. But one has to understand that one needs to recognize that honor and humility must ride together. Howard Thurman's famous quote that I'm so fond of using is that humility cannot be humiliated. The true teachings of the gospel, the true teachings of Jesus are the teachings of the humble, to the point that when you are really truly walking in humility, you don't have to worry about being humiliated. Guess what? The teaching says that even if you have a big name and you are popular and famous, you don't come in and take the high seat. You sit in the low seat and you allow the others to bring you up front. Why? Because when you walk in utter humility, you can never be humiliated. No one can ever walk in and say, "You're sitting in my seat." You have been moved to that place where you ought to be, but you walk in humility and you let God elevate you. I don't walk into another church and sit in their pulpit. There is a thing that we do as bishops when we go to a consecration service, elevation service. On the entrance into the pulpit, into the church, the bishops who are carrying their croziers will all have their croziers with the pointed end pointed out, facing forward. It'll be facing forward. And they'll enter the church. They will finish the ceremony. And when it is over, the bishop who has now been placed in that position will receive his crozier. That individual, whoever they are, will receive their crozier. They will have their front tip facing out, at which point every other bishop will turn his tip toward himself, because there is but one set person in the house and everyone else is humbled in their presence. Just a symbol, but it is a reminder, no matter what position you hold, you hold it with humility. Everybody has been talking about it, and I cautiously will speak of it. But I think everybody was worried they hadn't heard from the princess. You're the princess of England. You should be known what's going on in your life. You spent 2 weeks in the hospital. We haven't seen you. We want to see you. The British newspapers were going crazy. The American news media went crazy. And you know, social media never did have a mind to lose. Where is she? What is she doing? And then every conspiracy theory in the world came up, and everybody was talking and saying various things. And then finally, After all of that, the princess came out. And when Kate sat there, she did not strike back at all of her naysayers. She did not. I know some of you, you'd have a few words you can't use in church. And you would want to offer some of your street language in response. And you probably would have started with Nunya. For those of you that are ebonically challenged, let me help you. That means none of your business. Listen, instead she sat there in humility sharing her own rough road and battle with cancer. And her humility flipped the nation. Let me help you here. I don't care what your title is. When you're humble, you will receive honor. You will receive honor. You know, I'm going to move off this subject matter because some of y'all who ride all the time thinking that you have to fight for your honor and fight for yourself and push your way through. There may be places where that is necessary, and I'm not trying to tell you not to do that. But you can do what you need to do and still be humble. You know, Taylor Swift has been dating a football player, in case y'all never heard about it. Yeah, I think you might have found out. You know what his parents said about her? The only thing they could say, I can't believe she's so humble and she's so normal. You know, why is that a compliment? Because the rest of us know if we sold a billion records and we were richer than rich, we might not act that way. Truth of the matter is, humility is not reserved for the poor. It is the gift given to each of us to give to others so that we might have community. Honor and humility ride together. But not only that, and this is going to be a little tough, but Hosanna and hate ride together. Hosanna and hate ride together. Let me see if I can put this another way that might help you get this one. For everyone that lifts, lauds, and loves on you, there are others that hate you. For everyone that says you look nice, there's somebody mad that you look like you look. For everyone that compliments you on your hairdo or your new perfume or your new clothes, there's somebody else that's mad that you got your hair done because you spent that money. There's somebody that's going to always function in hate. Hate is cheap. It must be, because it's going around. And there are people who sow seeds of hate. But you need to recognize that when there is praise, wherever there is praise, wherever there is honor, wherever someone congratulates you, wherever you move higher, there will always be those that do not think well of you and do not think well of you. Don't lose your senses because everyone doesn't like you and everyone doesn't lift you up and everyone doesn't believe that you're all that. You be all that you can be in God and do what God told you to do. Jesus is moving through. People are ripping palms off, putting it down in the pathway as though the ground, the dirt and cobblestone is not good enough. They're putting it down there. They're laying it down on the ground. They're putting their cloaks on the ground. They're celebrating him. But at the same time, there are Pharisees over there plotting on him. At the same time, there are folk over there who are mad because people have come out to celebrate them. At the same time, there are people that are upset that Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, and that because of the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, people now know about this Galilean preacher. They're upset that people are coming out to honor him, and they're upset that they're crying out, "Hosanna! Hosanna, Hosanna, Master, make them be silent. Master, shut them up. Master, make them be quiet." No, if these be silent, the very rocks would have to cry out. There has to be a praise. There has to be a glory. There has to be a hallelujah. And just so you know it, you're here today. There are others who do not want to be in worship, who do not want to praise his name. You must be like those who were there on that triumphant Sunday and lift your voice in Hosanna to the King of Kings. Blessed be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I close with this. There. I don't know about you. Maybe you have been immune or isolated, and you don't know that there are people that don't like you. Maybe you just don't know it. Maybe no one's told you. Maybe no one's... Maybe they don't like the way you dress. They don't like your hair. They don't like who you love. They don't like anything about you. Maybe they don't like your skin color. I don't know. Maybe you're too fat, too short, too tall, too skinny. I don't know. I don't know. Me don't know. They don't like the gait of your walk. They don't like your body. They don't like your curves. They don't like any. They just don't like you. And if you don't know that, you really have been living under a rock. And if that upsets you, you really need to rethink life. Because in life, everybody, let me go. Yeah. Everybody. Everybody in the club, never mind. Everybody. Some of y'all got that. Everybody ain't gonna like you. You know, if I lost a night of sleep for everyone didn't like me, I'd have insomnia. But I never lost 1 minute of sleep. Worrying about things might have been. Oh, never mind. Big wheel, keep on turning. Never mind. Listen, what I have come to realize is that there is resiliency in recognizing that I can live my life, that God will put enough people in my life to encourage me, that they will drown out the voices of my discouragers. You don't even know when to shout. God will put enough people in your life that'll tell you, baby, it's going to be all right. It'll drown out everybody that's telling you you're going to fail. God will put enough people in your life that tell you you can make it, that'll drown out the voice of those that tell you you're getting ready to fall down. God will put enough people in your life to tell you to keep going on, keep on keeping on, that'll keep everyone at bay.
today that tried to tell you to stop on your journey. Don't worry about those that don't like you. God's got people to keep you encouraged.
I go to my seat. I'm done now. This is the last point, I finish with this. Thank you. This is the last one, is that holiness and helplessness ride together. Whew. Let me help you something. Jesus came in as holy can be, the Son of God, pure, sinless, and as good as he still wasn't good enough for some folk. Let me do it. I'm going to go talk to this folk on the other side here because y'all didn't get it that side. Listen. As good as he was, pure, perfect, he wasn't good enough for some folk. Okay. In the balcony, y'all help me in. Sinless as he was, stain-free as he was, avoiding the satanic as he did, he still wasn't good enough for some folk. Can I help you here? Stop trying to worry about what other people think about you. You are helpless against their stupidity. You are helpless against their hate. There's nothing you can do. All you have to do is do what God told you to do. Because if you stay on purpose, then you'll be on point. Let me say it again. If you stay on purpose, you'll be on point. If you stay on purpose, you'll keep the power flowing. If you stay on purpose, God will make provision. If you stay on purpose, God will take you to the place that he's designed for you to be. Don't you worry. You keep being holy. You're helpless against what they think, but you are always going to be helped by God. God is with you. This one's for you. Jesus did it just for you. Come on, give God a praise. Come on, celebrate the Lord. I extend to you an invitation now. Maybe there's somebody here who does not have a place of worship, who desires a church home, who desires a family to worship with. Maybe you're online and you're listening and you say, I like what they're talking about. I like those people there. I want to be a partner with them in ministry. Are you here and you say, you know, I've never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never asked him to be my personal savior. If I'm talking to you, I'm going to invite you to come now. Come now, give your hand to the preacher, your heart to the Lord. And say, look, I'm ready to make my commitment to the Lord today. Come now. Come now, the doors of the church are open. That phrase, the doors of the church, simply means that there is an open invitation at this time for you to be a partner with us in the faith. Come on, you can come. Come on, come on, my brother. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. Will there be another? Come on. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on, you can come. You can come. I wait on you. This is a great place. to have a home base, to say, I'm a member of that church. I believe what God is doing in that place. I want to participate fully in the work of Christ in that place. I want to be a member of the family. Come on, I extend you an invitation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Online, you can email me, call me right now. Give me a message. Tell me I'm ready. Bless you, my friend. Come on, let's celebrate our dear brother. We're so grateful that God sent you our way today. Want to welcome you to the family. With love, brother, with love. Much love. Thank you so much. And may God bless you in your walk with Christ with us here. Amen. I'm going to ask you a way with Elder. Amen. God bless you. Come on, put your hands together and celebrate God. Get your offering in your hand, whatever it is God has laid on your heart. If you want to and you're online, you can, and even in the sanctuary, you can give by Cash App, by Givelify, or you can mail your offering in. In the sanctuary, you can leave it at the door when we get ready to walk out. You can write an envelope. If you want to give online, you can give online as well through the Cash App or Givelify. If you're giving online, hold your device in your hand. If you're giving your regular tithing envelope, hold your envelope. And just hold in your hand as a sign and act of obedience. Let me tell you something. I don't ever beg on Sunday. I don't think I have to. This is a mature crowd. You all have been saved a long time. Some of you love the Lord. Just give what God told you to give. Give your tithes, give your offering, and believe God to do the rest. And God will bless you accordingly, 60, 80, 100-fold. I believe that God blesses people that give with a glad heart. So that if you don't want to give it, please don't, because you cut off the blessing. It'll bless the ministry, but it won't bless you. I want you to get your head wrapped around it, so you can give, thanking God that God made you able to give, and that the God that made you able will make you abound even the more, so that you can be blessed in every area of your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bless your name. We thank you for our offering. Thank you for gift and giver. Bless us even now. Give us, Lord, what we need. That we not only give, but we are cheerful givers. Have your way in our life. And we thank you even now. In Jesus' mighty name, we hold on to you. For every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no failure. In Jesus' name, amen.